Okay, so good afternoon. As mentioned today, I'm going to be talking about the state of sexual health services at colleges and universities in the U.S., and I'd like to thank all my co-authors for all their help with this project and presentation. So to start, a little background, and there's going to be a lot of data, so I apologize in advance, just bear with me. But there are about 30 million young adults aged 18 to 24 in the U.S., and about 43% are currently enrolled in undergrad or graduate school. Young adulthood is a peak age group for many risk behaviors, such as binge drinking, multiple partners, and unprotected sex, putting young adults at increased risk for HIV and STD. Health centers at colleges and universities have the potential to play a major role in providing needed services to young adults and helping normalize sexual health in an individual's sexual health care routine. So the number of colleges and universities with a health center or that in some way provide sexual and reproductive health services is not regularly assessed by any entity. Research on differences in sexual and reproductive health services at two-year institutions and minority-serving institutions, or MSIs, hasn't been examined in the last 15 years. And the most recent national study on services on STD service provision was done in 2001. So our study aimed to describe the current state of sexual health care services at U.S. colleges and universities, and we wanted to do this three ways. The first way, we wanted to estimate how many two- and four-year colleges and how many MSIs and non-MSIs had a student health center. Secondly, we wanted to know at those health centers how many of two-year and four-year schools, MSIs and non-MSIs, provided STD services, such as education, treatment, and prevention. And then also assess and gauge interest in partnering with community health centers and federally qualified health centers. So we conducted a nationally representative web-based survey of U.S. colleges and universities, and we used the Integrated Post-Secondary Education Data System from 2014 to 2015. We looked at active two- and four-year schools that were degree-granting. They were accredited and enrolled at least 500 students. We then stratified by MSI status and enrollment size of the school. And that led us to a sampling frame of 885 schools. 55% responded to our survey, so that was a total of 482 schools. The data was then also weighted and is nationally representative. So we wanted to see if there were any differences between responding and non-responding schools, and after performing analyses, no significant bias was reported. We conducted chi-square tests to look at statistical differences between two- and four-year schools and MSI versus non-MSI. So of the total universe of colleges and universities in the U.S., there are about 4,500. Our sampling frame was 885, and we had a 55% response rate, or 482 colleges. MSIs, we had 123, 25% had a health center. Non-MSIs, there were 359, 75% had a health center. 142 were two-year, 19% with a health center. And 340 were four-year schools, 81% had a health center. And important to note, the numbers of MSIs and two-year and four-year schools, that's unweighted, whereas the health center percentage is weighted. And some additional information about the schools who responded: 11% had more than 1,600 students, 35% were in the South, 58% were public, and a total of 70% of schools had a health center. So we found that health centers were primarily run by nurses, 33%, and 22% were run by nurse practitioners. Institutions with student health centers differed in the way they operated and offered services based on institution type and MSI designation. Four-year schools offered more online booking of appointment and the option of contacting a healthcare provider online. About half of MSIs offered clinic hours. However, more non-MSIs offered weekend clinic hours and availability of contacting a healthcare provider online. A little more than a third of schools required mandatory insurance coverage. However, this was more frequently a requirement among four-year schools and non-MSIs. Insurance coverage for STD screening was higher in four-year schools and in non-MSIs. 10% of schools reported that STD tests and visits were free to the students, and as a result, about 40% of students sought STD services off campus due to cost issues such as co-pays and high deductibles. Among the total sample, written sources such as flyers, pamphlets, and newsletters were the most common STD health promotion methods used by colleges, followed by one-on-one education in health centers and health fairs. Other common methods were posters, awareness testing campaigns, lectures, and testing events. And in general, four-year schools reported a higher frequency of health promotion activities compared to two-year schools. Condoms were available at 66% of schools surveyed. 44% of schools reported they were on display for free, and this was more likely in schools, four-year schools compared to two-year schools. And a total of 32% of schools did not make condoms available on campus. So there's a lot of information on the table, so I'm going to go kind of row by row quickly. But in the first row, about 88% of schools offered screening and testing for STDs. Four-year schools had higher availability of STD testing compared to two-year schools. Looking at the next two rows, less frequently offered services were express testing and self-collected vaginal swabs, but no statistical differences emerged between institutions for these services. Going down another row, almost three-quarters of health centers, 73%, routinely screened women under 25 for chlamydia and offered follow-up testing. The second to last row, 86% of schools offered routine screening for asymptomatic students. And in the last row, nearly all health centers offered HIV testing, 92%, and MSIs had a higher availability of HIV testing compared to non-MSIs. Regarding services for MSM, 54% of health centers offered pharyngeal STD testing, 50% offered rectal STD testing, and interestingly, a quarter of schools reported not knowing if pharyngeal or rectal testing services were available at their health center. HPV vaccine was available at 70% of health centers and available at significantly more four-year schools and non-MSIs. Almost all colleges had a referral mechanism in place. 90% of schools, that was 90%, 80% were interested in improving their referrals. Four-year colleges and non-MSIs reported referring sexual health cases to private doctor's offices more frequently than 2 years and MSIs, and two-year schools most often referred sexual health cases to a community health center. All colleges also interestingly reported referring about 30% of STD patients to urgent care clinics. Of the schools with a health center, the primary offerers of STD services were health departments at about 18% and 21% of local organizations, and three-quarters of the sample were interested in partnering with federally qualified health centers or community health centers. So as is true of all studies, there were limitations to our work. Our data is cross-sectional. It only provides a snapshot of sexual and reproductive health services currently on U.S. colleges and universities. The quality of the data we received depended on the individual completing the survey at each school, and that varied as titles at different institutions are different. And also, we did not collect data on STD morbidity. So this information, we updated the literature on the state of sexual and reproductive health services. The last time this was looked at was 2001. A good majority of schools, 70%, reported having a student health center, and of that 70%, three-quarters offered STD diagnosis and treatment. And this was an improvement from the 2001 study. Only at that time, 60% of schools had a health center, and only 62% were providing testing. Health education and promotion is high, and condoms were made more available compared to what was found in the 2001 study. So overall, college health centers may be doing a better job at screening women for chlamydia compared to community members. However, improvements could be more express and self-testing. Only about a third of health centers offered express testing. Regarding services for MSM, only half the schools surveyed offered pharyngeal rectal testing. So improvements could be greater, increasing extragenital screening and provider training. And as I mentioned earlier, only a quarter of schools reported knowing if extragenital screening was even available. There were a few significant differences that emerged between two- and four-year schools and MSIs versus non-MSIs. Four-year schools more frequently diagnosed and treated STDs and offered screening to asymptomatic students. MSIs offered the HPV vaccine less frequently compared to non-MSIs. Four-year schools and non-MSIs were better at offering flexible hours and technologically advanced health services, such as electronic appointment booking and opportunities for electronic communication with the health center. More research on barriers to STD services in two-year campuses is needed, and partnerships focused on increasing student access to sexual health services could be especially beneficial to two-year schools and MSIs where the majority of enrolled students may already be Medicaid eligible. Additionally, there are two posters downstairs looking at EPT and health insurance and confidentiality more in depth with this data set, and there are poster WP51 and THP13 in case you guys are interested and would like to check it out. So, thank you.
Thank Thank you. I do have a question. Just as far as gathering the data, did you guys collect at all anything as far as what the services were being offered for women for oral pharyngeal swabs for chlamydia and gonorrhea, as far as testing goes?
We did not.
Okay. Not as a leading question, but do you think that that's a huge gap that we're missing, especially in an educational service, that, you know, chlamydia and gonorrhea rates are rising. We see that statistically everywhere in the nation, particularly in that population. And we know that women are giving blowjobs, just like men are. So the bottom line is, I think that that's a huge asset that we need to look at that, especially at that particular guideline. And I'd be interested to see that kind of study going on.
Yeah, I definitely think schools are doing a better job offering chlamydia screening in general to women, especially asymptomatic students. But that's an area that definitely needs more exploration.
Right, and I think that it could be inclusive of all site testing. I mean, I think more and more our younger generation is getting more comfortable with sexual promiscuity, and I think that the ability of women to want to participate in extracurricular activities, as we may say, doesn't limit them. Just because MSM are our target population because we know they are at higher risk, I think our younger women are at risk too because they need to be educated for that.
Definitely.
Thank you, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Hi, thanks for that. I'm just curious if you did some great stratification by types of institutions. Did you go further than that, sort of compare liberal arts colleges versus technical schools or religious colleges?
We did not. We were kind of restricted by what characteristics the IPEDS data set had to help stratify our data, but we just looked for the purposes of this analysis between 2 and 4 year institutions and MSIs and non-MSIs.
And what about size of institution? Were you more likely to have services at larger schools? Or?
Yeah, so we stratified our data by enrollment size of the school and MSI status, and definitely larger schools were more likely to have a health center, and they were oversampled, as our smaller schools were less likely. But our main focus was on MSI status and 2 and 4 year institutions.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Do you have any evidence or any speculations on your behalf about the difference between why condom distribution was so high in the 4-year colleges versus the 2-year colleges?
Personally, I think, and that would be something we could further explore, a lot of 2-year colleges are commuter colleges, and so sexual health services, there's an issue with the provision of those in general. 4-year colleges tend to be larger, they have bigger budget, but we didn't look into specifics on that. So, okay, thank you.